morning and welcome to the Grace Hour broadcast, brought to you every Sunday morning at this time by the Missionary Church Association in Jamaica. I'm your host, Nigel Wilkinson. This morning we have with us once again Reverend Mark Dawes, Chairman of the Media Commission of the Missionary Church Association in Jamaica, as he continues his series on the Ten Commandments. This week's broadcast is sponsored by the Emmanuel Missionary Church, located at 26 Ward Avenue, Mandeville, Manchester. Elder Joel Heyman and the congregation invite you to worship with them in their morning service at 11 and on Facebook at Emmanuel Missionary Church. Do stay with us. In a moment, we bring you this morning's message.
More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show.
Today we continue the series on the Ten Commandments by examining the Tenth Commandment as is recorded for us in Exodus 20 and verse 17, which reads, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's." The sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth commandments prohibit acts of manifest evil, namely murder, adultery, stealing, and lying. The tenth commandment prohibits the thing that often leads to murder, adultery, stealing, and lying. All the other commandments legislate behavior. The tenth commandment legislates one's thought life, and in so doing, it gets to the heart of the person. The tenth commandment expressly forbids evil thoughts. Coveting is a thought process that so often leads to actions that are manifestly evil. Coveting is often the reason why people steal. Coveting is often the reason for adultery. Here, coveting takes the form of wanting the spouse of another person. The bearing of false witness is to cover up wrongs caused by coveting. The Hebrew word for covet means to want to the point of seeking to take away and own something that belongs to another person. Nothing is wrong with saying, "I wish I had a house like that." That might spur you to work to own a house like that. But when your neighbor's house consumes you to the point where you want to confiscate it, or it makes you unhappy that you do not have it, then that is coveting. We must not become personally obsessed and consumed to own anything that belongs to another, because only evil can come of it, including the evil of discontentment. The tenth commandment does not prohibit every kind of longing or desire felt or expressed for something one feels is better. Coveting is not the same as having noble desires. The Bible often commends desire in its proper place. The book of Proverbs encourages us to plan and to work hard so that we might improve our lot in life. So desiring domestic or financial advancement is not necessarily wrong. But a covetous person longs for someone else's stuff to be his stuff or her stuff. Coveting says, "I want their house. I want his job. If only I could have what they have, then I'd be happy." Coveting is a failure to to love your neighbor as yourself. When we are covetous, we think only concerning what would make us happy and what could make our lives better, regardless of how others might be adversely affected. Coveting is when our desire leads to, or is an expression of, discontentment and ingratitude to God. When we covet, we are implying that God is not big enough to help us or good enough to care for us. Our discontentment is an expression of how much more we think God owes us, and also a demonstration of lack of confidence in God. It is impossible to covet and at the same time profess to love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. 1 Timothy 6:6 gives us the vaccine for covetousness. It says there, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain." Covetousness kills contentment, and contentment in the Lord kills covetousness. We should emulate the Apostle Paul, who declared in Philippians 4 verses 11 through to 13, "I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." This passage simply means that Christ will be more than enough in your abundance and more than enough in your adversity. The passage is saying that what people need is not more stuff. What people need is more of Christ. Hebrews 13 verses 5 and 6 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself," speaking of the Lord Jesus, "has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Hebrews 13, 5 to 6, like the 10th commandment, is calling on Christians to rely on the sovereignty and the providence of God in Christ. Our lives are in Christ's hands, and he cares for us. Christ must be the Christian's supreme desire. If Christians desire anything, it should be more of Christ. Even more than knowing about Jesus, the Christian will hunger to know Jesus for himself or herself. In John 6:35, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Jesus was saying in that verse that he and he alone offers satisfaction for the heart and the soul in this life and the next. We could hardly blind ourselves to the fact that we have committed murder, adultery, or that we have dishonored our parents or made an idol. But the 10th commandment was given because as members of Adam's fallen race, we have the capacity to lie to ourselves about what we are doing. We have a tendency to be blind to the sin of covetousness because this sin dwells within the heart and mind. Covetousness is like a virus within us, and it is killing us when we don't even see it. The seductive power of coveting is that it affects those who otherwise look morally upright, those who go to church, those who preach and teach the Bible. Covetousness is no small sin. Jesus warned his disciples against covetousness in Luke 12, verse 15. He said, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Colossians 3 verse 5 states that covetousness is a form of idolatry. Covetousness is a declaration that says, "I can't live without this person, this place, or this possession." Covetousness makes a god out of our desires. James chapter 4 verses 1 to 3 notes that covetousness gives rise to all kinds of wars and fighting. That passage also stresses that all the evil in the world is a fruit of wicked thoughts that begin with simple covetousness. The passage in James 4, 1 to 3 also makes it clear that covetousness hinders the prayers of God's people. For James says essentially, you're too busy coveting to ask God for what you need. And when you do pray, your prayers aren't answered because they are rooted in covetousness. The Hebrew word for covet in Exodus 20 verse 17 is the same word translated desired in Genesis 3 verse 6, which states, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. In other words, covetousness is one of the reasons for the fall. Adam and Eve hankered after that which was forbidden, revealing to us just how basic and fundamental this sin is. All of us at some point are guilty of covetousness, but we can be thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ died for all categories of sinners, and that includes the covetous. God's forgiveness is freely available to us because Christ bore the penalty for our sins. The person who surrenders his or her life to Christ no longer stands under the wrath of God towards sinners, but that person can rest secure in the knowledge that his or her record of sins, including covetousness, has been blotted out, indeed expunged. As Psalm 103 verse 12 says, their sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. When we surrender our lives to Christ, through the Holy Spirit, we gain power to find our contentment in Christ and not in wealth, possessions, status, or what rightfully belongs to your neighbor. When the covetous person, just as any other sinner, surrenders his or her life to Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit becomes available to transform that person to hate sin, hate covetousness, and become one who is contented in Christ. Next week, we will explore another perspective concerning the Ten Commandments. Until then, may God bless you greatly.
It is our prayer that you were not only informed but encouraged by this morning's message delivered by Reverend Mark Dawes. For comment or counsel, please send us an email to mcaj@cwjamaica.com. Thanks once again to the Emmanuel Missionary Church, located at 26 Ward Avenue, Mandeville, Manchester, for sponsoring this morning's broadcast. Elder Joel Heyman and the congregation invites you to worship with them in the sanctuary or on Facebook at 11 o'clock. On Facebook, please look for Emmanuel Missionary Church. The Grace Hour is brought to you by the Missionary Church Association in Jamaica. I'm your host, Nigel Wilkinson. It is our prayer that you will experience the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ during the coming week.